Are so thankful to the Lord tonight. We know that He does all things well, and I know that we can't ever outgive Him. I know we can't ever outserve Him, and I'm grateful for His promise that He has tonight. He says, wherever two or three are gathered together in My name, He would be right here in our midst, and we're gathered in His name, and so we are grateful for that. Amen. Let's just bow our heads if we would. Gracious Lord, Father, we indeed are so thankful to be gathered together with saints of like precious faith. We're so thankful, Lord, that we're not depending upon us or upon our abilities, Lord. But we have this promise, Father, in Your word, this promise that says that whatever we have need of to ask of You, and the promise is that You would give us that which we have need of, Father. And Lord, it's not us who have declared or have made up, Lord, Your way of salvation. It's You that have made that, Father. We just humbly, Lord, submit ourselves to it tonight and to everything, Lord, that You say. Father, we claim that we are Your bride. And Your bride has this witness, Lord, that she is tuned to You whispering to her, Lord, those things, Father God, that are straight from Your word, Lord, but may be overlooked by the vast majority of any who look upon Your book. It's only by Your Spirit, Lord, that they're revealed, Father. So, Lord, we humbly submit ourselves to Thee tonight. Everyone here, Lord, we just want to lay aside every hurt. We want to lay aside every encumbrance of this life, Father. We come to You, Lord, who provides all things. We just want to lay them aside, O God, and fix our eyes on Thee. Tune our hearts to Your Spirit, Lord, I pray tonight. Grant it, Lord. We'll give You all the thanks, all the honor, all the praise. We ask this in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. While you're standing, would you please grab your Bibles? And I want to thank so much the music ministry to us and those lovely songs that were ministered to us. I believe the Lord has gone ahead. Amen. And we know that whatever we have need of, as I've said, even before we pray, the Lord said that He would answer. So we certainly are grateful for that tonight. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, as you would turn there. It's a familiar scripture, I trust. Can you hear me okay? Good. I want to certainly greet everybody online, and I know that your duty for tuning in is not your duty to anyone, but your own conviction in your own heart, that you want to serve the Lord, and that's what we're here for. We all have that testimony tonight. We want to serve God, and so we just want to see His body alive on the move be responsive to his slightest nod. Amen. Zechariah 4:10 states, "For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." Of course, this is talking about the restoration of the temple after the great diaspora, after the Jews were in Babylon and so forth, and they'd come back. And it looked pretty small, looked pretty hopeless. And the Lord challenges them, "Who would despise a day of small things?" You know, and a lot of times too, you know, when Elijah was looking for hearing for that voice of God, it wasn't in the thunder, it wasn't in the lightning, it wasn't in the earthquake. It was in that still, small voice. And it was seeing that little cloud about the size of a man's hand that showed up, that small, little, insignificant cloud that told Elijah that God was fulfilling to fulfill his word that he had planned. Amen? Amen. Let's just bow our heads one more time. Lord Jesus, this is your word. I pray, Lord, that you quicken it to our hearts. Break to us the bread of life. This we pray. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Certainly, we know that we want to certainly remember Brother Stephen and Bethany. They're going to be on a trip. He just texted me. He's getting ready to go out of town. He's going to be gone a couple weeks down to Tennessee to visit their family. So we just pray that they have a safe journey and that the Lord use them, amen, to strengthen the saints down there and, of course, his family. And as always, we certainly will miss them, to say the very least. And so, amen. Yes, so the day of small things, really, what I wanted to talk about tonight, you know, we're talking about small things, the little things. In one place, Brother Branham made a statement about the unchanging God. And he said about the unchanging God is that he does the unusual sometimes. And he chooses things a lot of ways that are overlooked. The little things, okay? And so we know that that is God's nature. That is God's nature to do that. And when it kind of, I want to just, you know, we know too that about the little things, we know that Jesus upbraided the Pharisees. He said, you know, you strain at a gnat and you swallow a camel. You know, you do the small things. You know, you strain at the little things like tithing of mint and anise and cumin, and you omit the weighty justice, like mercy, like truth. Amen? Like faith. Okay? And so the Lord wants us to embrace those larger things, those larger items too. But sometimes it's not those big things that get us in trouble a lot of times. It's those little things. It's sometimes those little foxes that spoil the vine. And that's really what I want to kind of focus in on. Brother Branham makes a statement, and this is interesting too, a quote that Brother David had sent to us kind of went along a line with what I felt the Lord was he had given to me. He said this, "Do you understand that it's the little things that you pass over and omit that mean so much to God? Can the church conceive that this morning in our achievement as organization and as buildings and masterpieces, we're omitting the little things that mean so much to God and so much to our eternal destination? We omit those things." Amen? I want to read something that Brother David had texted, and I think it kind of falls in line here. He said, "When it's by my Lord, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." That's how infallible the word of God is. no matter how small. Aren't you glad that you have that tonight? That no matter how small it is, God's Word is an infallible, it'll not pass away. We have a sure foundation, and that's the Word of God. We must never be shaken from that confidence that we have in God's Word. And if that's one thing that is the testimony of the bride of Jesus Christ, is that she has that confidence, that unshakable confidence in the Word of her Lord. Amen? It says, many times we think just because anything is small that it's not noticeable, but Jesus said that even a sparrow who two of them sold for a fourth of a penny, and not one of those little birds could fall to the ground without God knowing it. God notices little things. And many times today you say, I can't do very much about it, the conditions today. But just a little kind word to someone, an invitation, you know, come over, grab a bite, kind of get you something, right? A little kind smile or a greeting or to a passerby might mean more than you think it does. You know, you might help somebody who has a horrible day, and you might just, you know, lift them up for just that kind word. The atmosphere that you carry around, that positiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ that comes in, it creates an atmosphere, and we are creators. We are creators. Sometimes we fail in that creation of an atmosphere. I know I got to lift up both hands that I, you know, said something maybe a little quick. Sometimes we're a little bit quick in our judgments, and we don't sit down and settle down and look. That's the human side, Lord. Come. Take control. Sometimes if we just, I mean, we're supposed to be prayed up. We're supposed to be walking in the Spirit all the time. I believe that the Lord wants us to get there. I believe that's where the Lord wants us to be, and He will get us there, because He says, be confident of this very thing, He which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it, He shall finish it. He's the craftsman. Right, Brother Josh? You know all about craftsmanship. He's the one that's more intent in our perfection than we are. Our perfection, though, isn't dependent upon us. It's upon His finished work. He is definitely the potter. He's the one that has His hands on us, that's molding us. And when we feel ourselves bumped, we feel ourselves getting out of sorts, as it were, that's a predestinated bump. It's to tell us that we're not as polished as we think we are sometimes, you know. We need His grace. Amen? We need His grace. Brother Branham makes a statement. He said, it's not the big things you do, it's the little things that you leave undone. Remember, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Blessed are they that do all the commandments of God. Amen. I want to speak a little bit of that, man, a little bit about that. But he goes on to say, and you can read it, this is in God's only provided place of worship. Amen. He says, a man told me not long ago, he says, I don't preach a clothesline religion. I said, you're not preaching the gospel. Amen. Now, what is that? We don't look upon the clothesline to save us at all. This is not our salvation, okay? But we also understand, too, that His life in us reflects something, okay? It doesn't reflect rebellion. It doesn't reflect perversion. It doesn't reflect immodesty, you know. All these things, I was talking to my relative, and bless her heart, just love her to pieces. And she said, you know, if God gave us these wonderful curves, I don't believe He wants us to cover them up, you know. And I mentioned to her a few things, not the least of which is that if a man looks upon you and lusts after him in his heart, he's guilty, but then so are you for presenting yourself, you know. But I wish I had the wisdom to say, you know, honey, God does want you to cover up. Think about it. You know. He does want you. I mean, you'll be hypocritical, right? I mean, they choose some clothes, but not everything, right? Okay? So, no. He wants you to cover up. Amen. He says, you're not preaching the gospel. He said, God laid it out. That's your natural, reasonable thing. That little insignificant, Jesus said, blessed are they that would take all the little things, do the little things. And a woman, he talks about the woman's hair, letting it grow. Why? It's just something she can do. She won't even do that. You know, Brother Bram's talking about the little things. Your hair doesn't save you. It doesn't save you. But it speaks of something. It speaks of submission. Amen? For this cause shall a woman cover her head. Right? Her husband, if you would. Okay? Because of the authority of the angels. Now you think about that. And it speaks of that submission. And that beautiful submission that Jesus, that the bride of Jesus Christ has to her Savior. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a glorious thing. I want to talk more about that image. Amen. Amen. So, a brother had brought up to my attention that very quote that I had shared with you, how it is that it's the little things that we omit that mean so much to God. Okay? And, you know, you think about that. We know so much about, so much revelation about the opening of the seals and about the seven church ages and about the Godhead and about baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How that tongues are not the initial evidence. You know, we're not carried away by a lot of things that are not scriptural that you find in these denominations that have formed around these different things. The Lord says, I shall restore, saith the Lord. He's restored His word back to us. We rejoice in all of that. We take all of that. And yet sometimes it's the little things that stumble us, the little things that knock us out of joint, that knock us out of where we need to be. Amen? And the Lord cares about those little things. It's those little things. Actually, that interact, that cause those interpersonal relationships that we have. Relationships with our families, with our spouse, with our kids, with our brothers and sisters, with our co-workers, even with our bosses, with our neighbors. We all reflect something. And what is it that we're projecting? What is it that is being displayed out of our life? The Lord cares about the little things. He wants us to project His life. He wants us to project His mercy. He wants us that when we walk and conduct ourselves to see His peace abiding upon us. We're not easily ruffled. Amen? What does that? That is an unshakable confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I know we've got different natures, but even in the different natures, the Lord is able to supersede that, impose Himself upon us to where He takes total control. So it's the little things. Amen. Sometimes we nurse impatient spirits. Get impatient. That's what this age is. Just, you know, get impatient. And it would, like, our expectations are such, you know. If you ask yourself, what do you expect? Why do you expect this application to go faster? I got to bring it here, you know, this thing to show up, or the kids to obey a little quicker, a little faster. You know, if we're not careful, see, we can get riled up and we react to that. And see, what we've done is we've just created an atmosphere of negativity, all right? The Lord doesn't want us to be that way. Now, I realize some of us, we're raised a certain way, okay? we're raised, maybe our parents raised their voice, maybe they were quick, you know, and a lot of things are caught more than they're taught. Much as what we'd say, it's not so much what we say, it's really our actions, how we conduct ourselves, how we carry ourselves. Those are the things that are the greatest instructors. Amen? Amen? So, but those things where we fall short, those are the very things that Satan can run right in there and he can condemn us. And he can say, you know, you're not measuring up. You'll never measure up. You know, he'll run you down like that. I want to tell you tonight that Satan is a liar. I want you also, we have to be able to discern between that which is flesh and that which is the spirit. And I don't care how spiritual a person may be, if they ever react into the flesh, and they have a flesh, and they'll always have a flesh, and as long as that gets the preeminence, then the folly will be made known. It'll be manifested. So we've got to recognize what is flesh. That part is not redeemable. Flesh shall not inherit eternal life, right? But we must walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If the Lord says to walk in the Spirit, if the Bible, if God's Word tells us to walk in the Spirit, then there is a way for us to walk in the Spirit no matter what situation that we find ourselves in. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, I believe as we come up to the cornerstone, it says where perfect love is. What meets that is brotherly kindness, brotherly love, right? That's meeting up with divine love. We need that divine love to cap us off. But in the meantime, the Lord is honing us that we don't trust in our own selves. We don't trust in our own abilities. But we trust in the sweetness of the Lord Jesus, that the perfume of His life be upon us. Amen? Ministering Himself to those around us. We'll never get off the ground with things like that bothering us, okay? So we need to be quick to forgive, be tender-hearted. Like it says in Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake. Has forgiven you. God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, has forgiven me. You're forgiven for Christ's sake. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Lord Jesus died on the cross for your sake. He did not die in vain. He died to give to Himself a finished product. Amen? And that's why He washes the church by the washing of the water of the Word of God. That Word instructs us, tells us how it is that we can overcome. Amen? Brother Branham makes this little statement. I love his little statements that he makes. He says, you get little things you argue about. That's right. And that's what makes you carnal when you argue among one another. Forget it. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, and it's your brother. Don't try to run him down. Pick him up if he's wrong. Let's keep the body going. That's really what it's all about. It's getting home time. It's helping one another. It's ministering to each other. It's building one another up. It's not tearing us down. Amen. There's a lot of stuff going all around us, and I'm not going to get into that tonight because it's hard to avoid that. But I want to tell you something with all conviction. The greatest thing that is happening in this world right now is you, the bride of Jesus Christ. I tell you on the authority of God's Word that the Lord cares more about the bride of Jesus Christ than anything else that's happening in this world. Amen? You are it ought to be, the attention grabbers. Regardless of what anything else is going around, you truly are where it's happening. Because God is focused on you. He's focused on me. You know? He said, amen. He says, His Spirit is in the world holding back the black tide of the devil. And the reason His Spirit is here is because you are here. Amen? And when He takes the bride of Jesus Christ up, when He takes you up, and all these evil things that are being held back, all the horrible imaginations that are right now in the minds and hearts of unconverted men and women will be unleashed. And it'll be horrible. And they'll be set loose. It'll be a terrible thing. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, you can turn there if you want to. You're familiar with it. I'll just read it. He says, Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is the tribulation period that we're describing when these things will happen. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. And the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he, the Holy Ghost, Brother Branham said, who now letteth, that's hindereth, shall hinder until he, the Holy Ghost and the bride, is taken out of the way. Amen? When she's taken up, when she's raptured. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Then will the wicked be manifested. Okay? You're holding all of that back. You are what's happening. Amen? The Amplified Bible says this, For the mystery of lawlessness, that hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority, is already at work in the world, but it is restrained only until he who restrains is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, and the Lord will slay him by the breath of his mouth and bring him to an end by his appearing at his coming. Amen. You are preserving, keeping all of that back. Amen. Amen. And this great thing that will come to pass, because Romans 8:18 says, For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This, sometimes we hear this so often, it becomes common to us. It just doesn't make the impression that it should. You are ordained to bring forth His glory. You are ordained to have the glory of God to be expressed in and through you. Amen? And for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. All the world is waiting on you, waiting on me. We are where it's happening. Amen? Amen. I love Isaiah 12:2. There's never a time, whenever the Lord makes a move, that it isn't declared to where the world doesn't see it. You can look anywhere, and it never has ever happened. Israel wasn't delivered out of Egypt sneakily. It was very much in advance, very much in the face of everybody, and everybody saw that mighty deliverance. When Christ died on the cross, it was before all the magistrates, it was before the Romans, it was before the Jews, it was before the Sanhedrin and all the religious leaders of that day, in Jerusalem, of course. And it wasn't something that was hidden. Okay? Right now you might think things are hidden, but it won't be. it won't be. And I'll touch that here in just a little bit. The Lord wants to be glorified in us. Okay, He wants to declare Himself. He wants to show Himself that He is God and that His Word is true. Amen? And He wants to do that through us. Isaiah 12:3 says, Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon His name. Now think about that your name is near, your mighty works declare. Wherever His name is, so is His manifestation. Declare His name, declare His doings among the people. Mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. And so will the bride of Jesus Christ. She will be known. I mean, just a little more on that. Brother Branham said, now, so you can follow me, concerning the third pull, he's talking about the conditions of this world. He says it's tightening. This religious world, it's tightening. He said, and when that time comes and the press comes to a place to where you're pressed out, then watch what I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes. Watch the third pull then, see. It'll be absolutely to the totally lost. How can it be something that they can't see or aren't aware of? That's why, you know, we know it's not going to be a great show, okay? Because think of the tent vision. Brother Branham was in there, and people were walking in crippled. They go into the tent, the place that Brother Branham was with that angel, right? And then they walked out perfectly whole. And then there was a lady that was taking notes, and they said, what happened? And to the person, it was always, I don't know. All I know is that I walked in there blind, and now I see. All I know is I walked in there halt, and now I can walk. All I know is that I had this problem, and that we came out the other side. It wasn't vexing me anymore. See, that's our Lord. That's the great God. But the world will be able to see before and after, won't they? They won't be necessarily able to see the process, but they'll be able to see before and after, you know? Brother Branham makes a statement concerning the bride of Jesus Christ. He says this is a proof to Satan that she's not like Eve. You know, she's not like Eve. She's going to hold to my word. Amen. And I'm going to perform in her my pleasure. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad for that. Amen. Amen. In the meantime, it's the little things. And I'm just going to mention a few things just to help out. If you say, I got that, check, just pass it on. Just little things to kind of brush up a little bit. It's just the little things. Amen. It says Ephesians 6:13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, in having done all to stand. And sometimes that's where you are. Say, Lord, I've done everything I've known to do. He says, and the Lord's word to you then is, stand. Stand. Stand in the promise. Stand firm. The Lord will fulfill His word in you. Brother Branham said to pray and read your Bible every day. Every day. Don't let it slip. Read your Bible every day. Pray. Remember that you are a separated people. Never pattern yourself after the world. Okay? The Word is your standard. Not the world, right? You are a city on a hill. You're different by virtue of the Word, the effect of the Word has on your life. And that difference glorifies the Father. Amen? Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. See, everything that you do points to Him. I want that true in my life. Everything that I do, may it point to Him. Amen? He said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the holy unto the Lord. Accept God's pattern for you. What do I mean? You are made in the image of God. Accept His pattern. Accept how God made you. He made you special. He made you unique. He made you to reflect the Lord. Genesis 5:2 says, male and female created He them and blessed them. Okay? He called their name Adam. Sure. Male and female. He made them separate. He made them two sexes. Very distinct. And the Lord loves that difference because He made us that way. If we're a man, help us, Lord. Show forth all those masculine traits. We're not talking about six-pack Joe. That's not masculinity. That's oaf. That's beast. But all the things that speak of that, being courageous and wisdom, and not necessarily that's a masculine trait, because a woman can be wise too. I'm not saying that. But still, having that confidence in the Lord. Amen? To be strong. To be to stand and to be brave. There are many, many characteristics that just bring out the Lord. I wasn't here necessarily to talk about that tonight, but you get the idea of what I'm talking about. The Lord loves that distinctiveness. It brings glory to Him. Just like a woman who's a lady and all those positive characteristics that are feminine. Those characteristics, when you see you sisters with your long hair and your dresses and you're walking with that true femininity and you're reflecting that part, that just speaks, that even the world sees that and notices that, and it makes an impression upon them. What are you doing? You're declaring a part of God. He had those feminine qualities in Him too, because He had both, male and female, right? He separated them out. He gave part to the men, part to the women. Not to say that you can't have some similar qualities that cross over, but you get the idea. God is glorified in that, and when you pervert that in any way, the Bible says that that's an abomination to the Lord. If you go through and you look and see all the things that pertain to what is an abomination to the Lord, you say, well, we're Christians now. It's the New Testament. But the Bible says that I am God and I change not. I am the Lord and I change not. He doesn't change. He doesn't change His nature. What was an abomination for Him back then is still an abomination today. I'm going to mention a few just so that you can be clear in your own mind that when He comes along, or say, well, let me just hit a few here. He said, and not to be confused with what is an abomination to you. There's a distinction there between what is an abomination to the Lord and what is an abomination to you. Abomination to you is you shan't wear, you know, cotton and flax together. You know, that's an abomination to you. You're not supposed to eat oysters and shrimp and things like that. He says that's an abomination to you. Why? Well, you probably get sick or you do something that it's not very healthy for you to do these things. He gives us these laws in the Old Testament of what to live by, but those sorts of things aren't going to condemn you. But that which is an abomination to the Lord, those are the things you really want to pay attention to. And because God is God, He does not change. Okay? He said, homosexuality is an abomination to the Lord. For man lying with mankind is with womankind, right? Worshipping other gods is an abomination to the Lord. any graven image of those gods that were found were to be burned. Okay? You shall not do the abomination of those gods. You shall not have your children be burned to those gods. See how horrible those religions are. People go through excruciating contortions to worship what they think is their god. And they do horrible things. It's an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 6:16, if you want to turn there. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. It's an abomination to the Lord. It's not okay to lie. As popular as you hear that nowadays, and it seems like you're hearing it done with impunity, that all that is an abomination to the Lord. Everybody who's like that, they're going to have to give an account before the Lord. And you know what the Bible says in the book of Revelations, what happens to liars? They get thrown into hell. I tell our children, don't ever tell a lie. You don't ever want to do that. You don't want to live there. You want to walk uprightly. They who are upright in heart, those are the ones that can dwell in the hill of God. Amen? And he that soweth discord among brethren, the Lord, that's an abomination to the Lord. The Lord doesn't cater cotton well to when, if I were to say something evil about a brother or a sister in order to cause a division or to get somebody to side with me and my point of view, you know, to take ought, to have ought against somebody. See, that causes division. It's an abomination to the Lord. Okay. A charmer, consulter with familiar spirits, a wizard, or a necromancer, the practice of talking to spirits of dead people. That's all an abomination to the Lord. Interesting to note, unjust weights and measures are an abomination to the Lord. You know what that is? That's where you got one weight to sell and you've got a heavier weight to buy things with. And so you say this is an ounce and that's an ounce. Right? And you buy with one and you sell with the other. Okay? This one, you buy with this one, you get more. And then you sell at this one, you make a tremendous profit. Okay? Unjust weights is an abomination to the Lord. He doesn't like it. When one cheats another, takes unfair advantage of another, it does not please the Lord. Okay? When man wears garments pertaining to women, and women wear garments pertaining to men, that is an abomination to the Lord. So now you know why you dress the way that you do. You dress like a lady, you dress like a man, you dress modestly. Amen? Amen. Okay. I'd like to touch on another thing, too. My time is winding up here quickly. And I hope you don't regard this as meddling. And I hope this will be a help. Please. I'd like to touch on one of the commandments, Ten Commandments. And please don't think this is self-serving. Because, you know, when the Lord says that he inhabits the praises of his people, it seems like it's very self-serving that he wants us to praise him. And we don't really see the wisdom is that when we praise the Lord, we actually receive great benefits. We receive health. Just everything off the charts in our whole body, especially if we worship with our whole body, all our mind, all our soul, all our body, we bring health to every part of our being. So we benefit tremendously. And he's the one that bids us, worship me. And we gain the benefits. You don't understand the love of God. His ways are higher than our ways. We think, we sometimes lay at the feet of God some bad motive because that's how we are. God is not that way. See, we must do righteous judgment. What I'd like to talk about is honor thy father and mother. And the reason why I want to talk about that is because Satan is against the home. Okay? Brother Branham said, if you break motherhood, you break the back of the nation. For as the home goes, so goes the nation. And there is an element right out there right now that's one of the things that they're against, believe it or not, is the nuclear family. They are fighting against the whole concept of a father, a mother, that's a man and a woman married with children. They want to fight that whole thing. You know right there that that's inspired by Satan. And so you got to understand that your family and my family is being attacked. And so in order to protect our family, we have the answer. And the answer is right here in God's Word. And so one thing I'm going to ask us as I'm going through this just a little bit here is please, we need to take every attitude that the world has, every attitude of the feminist movement, everything like that, we need to get rid of that because those things will undermine the very health of and peace of our home. Okay? And I'm not saying this in any way for self-service. If you do, you've missed the wisdom of God. I pray that you can see this in the Spirit, that the Lord would have us take it. He says, honor thy father and mother. It's the first commandment, children, with a promise that it may be well with thee. Okay? Not that they're going to kill you. That's not it. God's blessing would be upon you. See, this so hits near to the heart of God because you've got to understand again, we're talking about Christ and the church. We're talking about a model here. We're talking about a reflection. And believe it or not, the whole world is looking for that reflection because it speaks to them something. There's a one television show, don't ask me what it was, but it was something in the 80s, and it was about this white family, about a father and mother, and they had kids, and the actress, she was the mother in this sitcom or whatever it was, she says, I was approached by so many black kids. I thought we'd appeal only to black families, but they said no. That cohesiveness where you got a dad and a mom and a family working together, we don't have that. And it just resonated so much to our hearts of something that's lacking in our hearts, in our lives, administered to us. Okay? So this image actually is health to the world. It is strength to a nation. Okay? Honor your father and mother. Where it needs to start actually is with the father and mother. That's where it starts. It should be modeled between the husband and wife. They should honor one another. They should never raise their voice one to the other. Okay? Now, I don't mean to step on any feet here. Please understand. And I'm not judging anybody. I don't have anybody in mind when I'm saying these things whatsoever because I've not been to your homes. Okay? And you're probably doing this perfectly well, for all I know. Okay? But this is something that should be in our homes. Honor your father and mother. How is the children, going to respect the father? Because she sees that respect modeled in the wife and how she relates to their father. That's why the Bible says, wives, see that you respect your husbands. See that you reverence, in one part too, your husbands. If a mother does that, the children, you'll find they'll come right in line and they'll have proper respect to their husbands. Can I hear an amen here? Amen? You're quiet. Amen. So, I mean, that's true. That is, now, it doesn't fly in this modern day at all. But see, we will not be shaped to the image of God based after the model that the world is out there. We need to base ourselves off the model of what the Bible says. Amen? Amen? You show me a home where the wife belittles and disrespects her husband, and I will show you a home where the children rule. I've seen that so many times. Not here, thank the Lord, but I've seen that. Isaiah 3:12 says, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them." See, that is part of the judgment, if you would. Your house is inverted. Okay? My people, which they, my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. People have lost their way. They've absolutely lost their way. My dad, when I was growing up, told me, he said, before you marry a wife, he said, you look at her and see how she is with her daddy. See how she respects her dad. See, in the same measure that she respects her daddy is how she's going to respect you. And I thought that was good advice. Well, sometimes the dad might be a jerk. I got to, you know, say he might be really, really bad, and there'd be an issue there. But as much as she is able to, she needs to repent. She needs to fix, to mend that relationship so that she doesn't carry it on into the marriage. Amen? Because that was good counsel. And I would say in reverse, sisters, if you are considering a brother, a brother's caught your eye, see how he treats his mother. And how he treats his mother will very much reflect how he's going to treat you when you get married, when you're married. And I've seen that, and I've seen that tragically. It is predictable that they're going to have problems. Okay? So, it all starts in the home. It all starts with respect. Fathers, do not let your wives be shown disrespect from the children. Model before them honor. Model before them love. Husbands, love your wives, the Bible says. And you show that, you model that protection, the children will have an easier time falling in place. If the mother's belittling and picking the husband apart, how can the children respect something like that? There have been all kinds of reasons not to, right? In the same way, you know, if the husband is going to say and ridicule his wife and so forth, what is that going to do with the confidence of his children to their mother? So we need husbands. Love your wives. This is what we're instructed to do. Even as Christ, who loved the church and gave himself for it, see that you show her honor. Amen. And I want to say this too. You don't have any old timers here. Anybody ever hear of or see Brother Perry Green from Tucson Tabernacle? You, at least you've heard of him. Maybe you've seen him. He said something a long time ago. He talked to the brothers. He said, "Brothers, you want a Sarah?" He said, "Then be an Abraham." You know, so there's a lot of wisdom in that. It's much easier to respect somebody who earns that respect. Amen? The Bible does not give us reason to not respect. We need to, because the Bible says to. But it makes it a whole lot easier when we act respectful and hold ourselves that way. Is that all right? Okay. So this is the model that the Lord wants your home, my home, to be. In this world of brokenness, such homes truly are salt and light. Amen. It is one that receives the Lord's blessings, one where the Prince of Peace reigns. And you feel that peace. When you walk into homes like that, it's palpable. People see that. It could be sinners, it could be people out in the world. They come into your home and they're saying, there's something very different about this home. There's an order to this home. There's a peace to this home. There's lack of strain and stress to this home. Amen. Amen. Is that all right? Amen. Hope you still love me. It says, let us remember now in closing, it's not the big things, sometimes it's the little things that we leave undone. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Okay? One who always rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Okay, it's the little things that mean so much. In everything give thanks. That helps so much. In all things. May that be your just part of what you are. People notice, boy, there's a grateful person. Grateful people are wonderful to be around instead of somebody who's complaining, right? Be grateful. Amen. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. He wants us to be prudent, right? Hold fast to that which is good. And abstain from every appearance of evil. Brother Branham said something really simple. He said, if there is a doubt, if you got a doubt about it, just leave it alone. Right? Leave it alone. It's a whole lot safer. Amen? He said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who called you, who will also do it. Don't ever forget who's performing it. No matter how short you may have find yourself, how short I find myself, I look to the Lord who's finishing. He's finishing. Amen? It's coming home time. Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, but that's not the way with Jesus. No matter how little you are or how little you do, he records everything you do. He knows all about you, whether you're big or whether you're little. He knows all about it. It's all recorded on his books. And sometimes it's the little things that sets us up to the big things. We got to have all the body of Christ working together. And that's really what it's all about. Amen? Amen. Have little... One thing Brother Branham says, sometimes it's the little things that we omit that spoils our great faith. We see little something up there, the weather's too hot, we got too tired, or something like that. You omit coming to the meeting again, and maybe something got out of order or something went wrong, and then right there is where you fail. But you see, faith is so positive, you can't hinder faith no matter what it is. You're going to do it anyhow, no matter what anybody else does. If you believe it, you're going to stay with it, because faith has no hindrance. You might have a lot, but your faith doesn't. So just stay right with it. Amen? Amen. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. That's my sincere prayer for all of us. Amen. Let's bow our heads if we would, please. Lord Jesus, Father, we know that your word is true, Lord. And we know that it won't come to you void, Father, but it'll accomplish exactly those things, Lord, that you've purposed, and it'll prosper in those things that you've sent it. So, Lord, we indeed thank you for that. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon each one, Lord, and that you help us to be mindful, to help us to be careful We're getting close. We're getting so very, very close. A lot of things are going to happen right now. We just want to place our unshakable faith in an unshakable God and to lift one another up, to believe for each one and to help one another, Father. Grant it, Lord. Lord, we ask truly that you have mercy. Forgive us, Lord, where we've come short. And we all have that testimony, Lord, that regardless, and we know that we have come short, we know, Lord, that you're going to help us. Blessed is that righteous man. A righteous man falleth down 7 times and yet getteth up again. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And that's the glorious thing, Lord, is that you do. So help us tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would, those things, Father, that are from you, Lord, I pray that you'd quicken it to their hearts. And that's the only thing that can. Help us each one now. For your glory and honor, we pray. This we ask in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Why don't we just sing, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. I know that's kind of our going out song, but it also is apropos. 220. Is the tie that binds, and it's the thing that makes the Lord most pleased, is when we have love one for another. We know that's his last commandment to his disciples, that we love one another. Love one another. So as we're here, you know, we're all together. Is there somebody who has need of prayer while we're in his presence? Did anybody have a need that you want us to pray about with you? Brother Derek, you want to come up?
Better husband.
Well, I think that's a prayer for all of us. He wants to be a better husband. heaven, Father.
Amen.
The Lord wants us husbands to reflect Him. Him to the family. Him to our wives in particular.
Amen.
To our children.
Amen.
He wants the body of Jesus Christ to be healed. And I believe that He's starting right here with us, with the families.
Amen.
With His people.
Amen.
So why don't we just all come up here and let's pray. It's not just for Brother Derek. We certainly want to lift that up in prayer, but all of us.
Amen.
So why don't we come, please? Let's lay our hands on our dear brother.
Amen.
Lord is good. Brother Jesse, why don't you pray?